Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 11, stanzas 1 through 4. O Jehovah, hear my words, and to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 11. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first book of Kings, the 10th chapter, 1 Kings, chapter 10. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Kings chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. And thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram, and that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house. Harps also and psalteries for singers. And there came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold, beside that he had of the merchantmen, and of the traffic of the spice merchants, and of all the kings of Arabia, and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shekels of beaten gold, 3 pounds of gold. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold, 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish, and with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and garments and armor, and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and an horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites, and for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Willina van Driesten, who has come home from the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, great and majestic God of the heavens and of the earth, and we have read of an earthly king, and of his might, and of his honor. But Lord, thou art the heavenly king, and thou sittest upon the throne. There is none like it in all the earth. It is the throne of the Most High God. And thou givest answer to no one. And thou doest, Lord, all thy good pleasure. And thou art so free to do as thou dost please. And there is none of us that may say to thee, what doest thou? O Lord, give us such an impression also in this morning hour, and when we attempt to draw nigh to thee in prayer and in supplication, because we cannot come to thee aright. Thou art so holy, and we are so polluted. Thou art so high, and we are of the earth, earthy, and we are carnal. Thou art spiritual, and thou art eternal. Then who can approach to thee in a spiritual way and with a heart of due humility that is laid in dust and ashes on account of our own guilt, filth, and pollution? O Lord, impress it upon our hearts, and that we may feel something of it in our own souls, that we may desire to come to thee, and but that we might need thine only begotten Son. All thy people could not stand before thee, and when thou came with thy law, then they had to ask, speak unto Moses, and let Moses speak unto us. Then they needed a mediator. They needed one to go between. Lord, give us also that impression in this morning hour as we attempt to draw nigh unto thee who art so holy, and that we need one also to stand between, and that we need one who would speak for us, that we would need one that may go for us into thy presence and to plead for us who have sinned against thee, not only in our father Adam, but also each one of us, showing that we would have done the same when we continue in our life in an act of rebellion. Lord, then it is only right from thy side when thou wouldst cast us away, and that thou would never hear our supplication. But, Lord, wilt thou be pleased to, as that mediator, go in also for us before thy Father, which is in heaven, and that thou may there show to him that blood that thou hast shed for the sake of thy people. And, Lord, we have sinned ourselves on the outside, but wilt thou bring us on the inside? Oh, that thou may include us, Lord, that thou would bless thy word,
that I would sanctify that which thou hast done, that I would send forth thy Spirit in the midst of us as a congregation to give that new life, and that may hunger and thirst after thee, that may see the vanity of all that is here below, and that may go out to thee with thirstings of the heart, and with hungerings of the soul, that could not let thee go except that thou would bless us. Lord, we beseech of thee the quickening Spirit, because without it we shall remain dead. But thou didst say to thy servant to go and to preach to the dead dry bones. Thou saidst, thou must say unto them, live. Lord, they could not live. They had no life in them. But thou didst give them to live. We can read it in thy word, Lord. Thou gavest unto them a flesh. Thou didst cover their bones. Thou gavest them a being. Thou breathest into them thy Spirit, so that they did live. Oh, art thou not the same yesterday, today, and also forever? Oh, art thou not able still to do the same to us and our dear children? Wilt thou also not be willing, even in the days in which we live, when the ends of the world are come upon us with our children, and when Satan goes about as an angel of light seeking to devour a home he may be able, to deceive, if it were possible, even thy very elect? Lord, wilt thou work in such a day? Oh, that thou would show thy power over that prince of darkness who holds so many of us, yet in this day, in that dark state of death that we cannot deliver ourselves from. But Lord, thou art able to speak one word, and then we shall live. Oh, we beseech thee that in this thy holy house of prayer, that the miracles which thou didst work when thou wast here upon the world, that those same miracles may be worked also this day, even in the midst of us. Oh, that thou may speak, that thou may say to this one or to that one, so far and no further, that thou may say to another, live, that thou may say unto another, to arise from the dead, that thou may speak unto thy people in a way of chastisement, in a way of instruction, in a way of leading them. Lord, come thou. Oh, to whom else can we go? Thy arm is not shortened. Thy ear is not heavy. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou didst say, with man it is impossible. Lord, it is impossible for us as thy servant. It is impossible for each one that will listen in this morning hour. But thou didst say, with God all things are possible. And therefore, Lord, we beseech thee that thou may also give us to experience that with our children, that it is still possible in the days in which we are living, that thou art stronger than the prince of darkness, that thou art able to bring us from the darkness into thy marvelous light. Oh, instruct us from above. Leave us not to go our own way. Remember each one of thy dear children. Thou knowest also what their life is. Lord, thou hast called them by their own name. Thou hast brought them out. Thou hast given them a desire. Thou hast given them to flee from the wrath to come. But thou knowest that they have in their hearts so many riddles. So often, oh, thy dear son, he is so often so hidden. Lord, wilt thou show thyself through the lattice of the window, that they may be given to see a little bit? of thy blessed countenance, that it may shine upon them when they are walking through the wilderness of this life, that thou may have compassion upon them, that thou may lead them further in those blessed steps of grace, that they may come more and more as they are instructed in the knowledge of self, which is so discouraging, which would give them sometimes to give up hope. But Lord, open unto them something of that blessed mediatorial work of thy dear Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, in whom thou hast provided everything for a people who had sinned everything away, and who cannot bring the smallest part of that which is necessary. Lord, remember us. Look upon all those that are afflicted. Be with the young girl who was brought back from the hospital. Lord, thou dost make it well again. Oh, what a wonder. And when there were so many fears, and when there were so many discouragements, and thou hast given her a measure of health and strength, Lord, wilt thou give her, even in this thy Sabbath day, a heart that may go out to thee, because we don't deserve it, and it could have been so different. And our fears, they were so many. But Lord, wilt thou give them this day a heart that may acknowledge thee aright. But oh, that her heart may be taken in thy hands, and that thy goodness may lead to a true repentance. Lord, that it may also be with all of us together. Thy callings, they don't break our hearts in themselves. Lord, it is not in the storm, it is not in the fire, it is not in the wind, but it is in thy still small voice. May we hear it in this morning hour. May thou go, Lord, from pew to pew, and wilt thou speak with thy Spirit, that thou may bring thy word into the heart of each and every one of us, and that thou would leave us not to go our own way. Do remember all those and that have family members who are afflicted and sick. Thou knowest the condition concerning family members of several in our midst. Lord, remember them also in the places where they are, in the hospitals, in the homes in this day. May thou give a little blessing from above, even in the places where they must spend thy Sabbath day. And may thou show something of thy mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. Wilt thou be with each and every one in all the needs and the cares of this life? There are widows and widowers. They go through this life alone. There are also those that are unmarried. Lord, remember each and every one of them, and supply out of thy fullness. Also those that have no children, those in whom there are disappointments and crosses and trials and tribulations in this life. Parents that sorrow over children, Lord, wilt thou supply. Oh, remember thy own covenant when they have a baptized forehead, and they have no desire anymore to be under thy means of grace. Lord, that thou would call them again, and that thou would return them, that they may come with weeping and with supplications. Wilt thou go before us when we try to bring thy word in this morning hour? O Lord, we beseech thee, who knowest all things, that thou would be on our right and on our left, that thou would remember us in the preaching, that thou would open thy word, that thou would make it an easy and a loving task. But Lord, oh, even if it would not please thee, oh, could thou please remember this people, that thou may give a blessing that is undeserved. Do it, Lord, not for reasons that lay in us, but remember us for the sake of thy only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 416, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Yea, a thirst for thee I cry, God of life, O when shall I come again and stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee? 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 416. Congregation, essentially, God the Father is the King of His church. But in the time, God the Father hath given the government of His kingdom into the hand of His Son. Paul writes that He hath put all things under His feet and given Him to be the head of all things unto His church. We also read that there is going to come a time that He is going to return once again that government into the hands of His Father. We read, and when all things shall be subdued under Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, and that God may be all in all. When the Lord Jesus was on the earth, then we read that He refers to Himself as the greater than Solomon. That He said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Thus the Lord Jesus has made King Solomon a picture of Himself. In what sense? Was He a picture of His mediatorship? No, because Solomon was not a mediator. Was He a picture of His shepherding? We do not read that of Solomon. Was He a picture of His suretyship? We do not read this. No, boys and girls, what is that picture in which we may have of the Lord Jesus Christ in King Solomon? That is His reigning, that is His royalty, that is His kingship. And you know that when Solomon was young, then he was made king already, and he felt himself to be a child and not able to go in and to go out and to lead that great people of the Lord. And therefore, what has King Solomon done? He has asked the Lord if the Lord would give him wisdom. Do you do that too, boys and girls, young people? And the Lord was pleased with that request. And the Lord said that He will give to Solomon not only that wisdom which he asked, but that He would give to him that which he did not ask. And what was that? That He would give to him riches, that He would give to him honor, that He would give to him glory. And now it was especially that wisdom of Solomon that was used as a tool in the hand of the Lord, that he may receive all of these further blessings that were promised unto him from the Lord. And then it is especially that wisdom, but also that glory, that has spread the fame of this great king through all the nations of the world. That is what we read together. That we read that as the nations, the kings, that the people of the world came seeking for that wisdom of this King Solomon. Then they may see as something of his glory. in this life, that true church of God will also be given to see a little bit of that glory of that greater Solomon here in this life a little. Later they shall experience that glory in great abundance and fullness. And therefore we wish to speak a few words with the Lord's help concerning this in this morning hour out of 1 Kings 10. And thereof especially the 7th verse. 1 Kings 10 verse 7. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. And thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. So far the words of our text. The Queen of Sheba declares the glory of King Solomon. First, she declares her unbelief of this glory. Howbeit, I believed not the words. Second, she declares the reality of this glory. Until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And last, she declares the inexpressibleness of this glory. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Thus the Queen of Sheba declares the glory of King Solomon. First, her unbelief of this glory. Second, the reality of this glory. And third, the inexpressibleness of this glory. Howbeit, I believed not the words. The words of what? They are the words of his acts, the words of his wisdom. The Queen of Sheba, she had heard it. And she was in her place south of Canaan in that southern Arabia. And there, because of the merchant ships that have traveled between the ports in those days, then there were those of her own navy and that did come and speak to her about a wonderful kingdom. Thus, as she has heard it, that kingdom of that greater Solomon is a kingdom that shall be heard of throughout all the world, that every nation of the world, and then especially in the last days, especially in the end of time, and that men shall hear of the glory of that kingdom. But it was also already in the Old Testament. Think of only Naaman the Syrian, who has heard of the power that did proceed from that great God of Israel and who sought out that power. Thus this Queen of Sheba, she heard of that king. And she heard of that kingdom, of its greatness, of its glory, and then especially of the wisdom of this king. Congregation, have we also heard? Have we also heard of another kingdom? As we are in our own kingdom, the kingdom of this world, the things of this time, have we also heard even of that kingdom that is so much greater in riches and in abundance, in great glory, much greater than all the kingdoms and all the so-called riches that are in this world. Oh, we have heard it. And we have heard it. And there are many congregations that do not hear it. Imagine what that is, boys and girls, young people. Imagine what that is when you had never in your life heard of that kingdom of God. When the only thing that you knew was the kingdom of this world. When the greatest things that you knew were the things that are here below, the inventions of man, the wisdom of man, the technology of man. Oh, there are so many that have never heard. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, Solomon was very wise. Solomon was very rich. He has written many proverbs. Do you read those proverbs, young people? That is the wisdom, not only of the wisest man in this world, but we can read from where that wisdom has come. And that wisdom was given unto him by God himself. And then Solomon has received much wisdom in this world, because we can read how many business dealings that this King Solomon had with all of the nations that were around about him. And thus that wisdom that was very great that this queen hears about. But now we read something very special here. Because we read that she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Concerning the name of his God. Oh, she has heard that he has received wisdom. And she has also heard how that Solomon has received this wisdom. Not as we, when we have to go, boys and girls, to school every day, and then slowly, step by step, we begin to understand more and more. But no, it was not so with King Solomon. But the Lord has given unto King Solomon in a very miraculous way that wisdom which he has received. Thus this woman, this great queen in her own kingdom, as she has heard of this very special wisdom, she also had her gods. She also had her wise men. But she has never experienced, she has never seen, she has never heard anything like this before in her life. And then in her thoughts, then as she is thinking, and her heart that is going out after that King Solomon, and not only after that king, no, but especially after that God, because he must be then stronger than her own gods. That is a God that is able to work miracles. That is a God that has so much power. That is a God that is able to lead his people in such an astounding way. Howbeit, I believed not the words. That does not mean she did not believe them at all, because if she did not believe those words at all, and she just dismissed those words, then we understand and that queen, she had never gone out to see King Solomon. But she believed not the words. She could not believe how great and that her mariners were saying and that the fame of this king was. She could not believe that it was so great as then her men were telling her that it was. Is that really true? How is that now possible? Because she herself had very much. She herself had an abundance of all the things in this life. But if that report is true, then there is a kingdom that is much greater than mine. Then there is a kingdom that will make my kingdom look as if it is nothing but poverty. And then what do we read? And then we read that there is a desire. And that desire that begins to work within her own heart. And what is that desire? That desire is congregation that she might see for herself. That she may not only hear it from those who have seen it, but that she herself may come to know the truth of those things of which she has heard. Or is that ever now in our heart? When we have heard congregation of a kingdom that is a spiritual kingdom, we have heard of a kingdom that is so much greater in majesty, in glory, than the kingdom of this world, that would make this world seem to us as nothing but poverty. Or was there ever then something in our heart? Maybe when you are lying, boys and girls, sometimes upon your bed, and when you are thinking that you say, oh, I wish that I also may know something of that kingdom, that I may know something also of that God. That is now the desire that was lying within that heart of that queen of Sheba. Oh, how great was her desire. That was a desire, and that could not be stopped by all the obstacles that might come in her life in this world. No, because that queen lived very far away, and she is ready that she may know something of that kingdom and of that king, that she might hear his wisdom. As she is ready to make such a long journey. Oh, when the Lord is beginning in the heart of his people, then there is congregation, humanly speaking, there is nothing that can stand in the way of that desire. And then that people are ready to leave their land. They are ready to leave father. They are ready to leave mother. And that they may seek after and that they may find that kingdom and that king of that spiritual kingdom. What did the bride say? She said, draw me. She said, we will run after thee. And so it is. Oh, when the Lord is drawing his people, and then there is nothing. Oh, there is not the highest mountain. There is not the lowest depth that is able to keep that people away. When the Spirit of the Lord is drawing that heart after the true and that living God. Congregation, how is it in our own life? Oh, is there a desire? Because by nature there is no desire. And by our education there may be an outward desire. But then it is lacking that burning that is in the heart of that true church, that they may persevere and that they may receive
and that thing which their soul does desire. Oh, what did the Lord Jesus say? He says that Queen of the South, she shall rise up in the judgment against this generation. And why? Because she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Oh, is there then any desire after that greater Solomon that we may hear his wisdom, that we may see his glory? What did that woman bring with her? We read she came with a great train, a very great train. Camels, we read, they bear spices. She brought with her very much gold that was prophesied by the psalmist when he said that the kings of the isles and of Tarshish and of Seba and Sheba, they shall come, they shall bring their gifts. Do we know of this congregation? Do we know of this? We also bring our gifts to the house of God. Oh, we acknowledge you for your generosity in giving of your gifts. But oh, now we ask, what is burning in your heart? Because when this woman came with her gifts, oh, then her heart that was burning after that king, and to hear something of that blessed wisdom. Oh, thus, she does not come only with outward gifts, but we read here that she comes to Solomon with something else. And what does she come with? She came, we read, to prove him with hard questions. What were those questions? We do not know what they were. Maybe they were questions of mathematics, of science, of philosophy in this world. But let me read something also very clearly here. That her questions were higher. These were questions, we read, that did not dwell only in her mind. But these are questions, we read, that are dwelling in her heart, in her soul. And that the fame of this King Solomon, in which she came seeking, was a fame concerning that name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. And she came to him to prove him now with hard questions. What kind of questions were they? They were questions that all her wise men, that all her courtiers were not able to answer her. She has asked those questions, you may be sure, to those who are around her every day. But there are questions that they could not answer. Oh, they were questions that were dwelling in her heart. And why could they not answer those questions? Because they did not know the God of King Solomon. Do you also have questions, congregation? Do you also have hard questions? Do you have questions more than the questions we can find about this world, mathematics and science and philosophy in this world? Are there questions that may lie in your heart? Are there questions in your heart that no man in this world is able to give you an answer unto?
Are there questions there about yourself? Are there questions there about God? Are there questions there about your relation to God? About your separation from God? How that has come to be? But also how that separation can be taken away? She came to prove him with hard questions. And when the Lord is working in our heart, then there are such hard questions. There are such riddles. Where do you go with such questions? Have you found the answer to such questions in man? Was man able to satisfy you with his answers to the comfort of your soul? We want to go further to our second thought. The Queen of Sheba declares the reality of his glory. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. Or what did Queen Solomon do when she came to King? What did the Queen of Sheba do when she came to King Solomon? Or we read that here. Then she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Communion. Communion is a special privilege, especially with a king, because not everyone gets to go in unto a king and to commune with him. And now, congregation, there is a people in this world, a people that have riddles in their heart that they cannot answer, and that experience in their life the difference between saying their prayer and praying. Then there is a people that have such riddles in their heart that sometimes may experience what it means to commune with the King. Congregation, do we know what that is? Do we know what it is to be given permission? Sometimes to come before that king and to ask any question that is laying upon our heart, that there are no barriers, and that you may with so much freedom unburden your heart unto the Lord. That the Lord gives you a little access unto that throne of grace. And she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And then what do we read? Then we read that Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king in which he told her not. There is one thing to ask, and there is another thing to receive an answer. And Solomon, on all those hard questions, she may receive an answer from that King Solomon. O congregation, may you ever commune with that greater Solomon. May you ever be privileged to speak to him, but that also you may receive an answer from him. If we are privileged to so come and lay before that king and to commune with him of the burdens that are laying in our heart, then we have come to the place, the only place that all our answers can be given. Only He Himself is able to answer the riddles that lie in the heart of God's true church. He Himself is the answer to that greatest riddle that is lying in the heart of that awakened sinner. Oh, how can man be just with God? No man is able to answer that question. But God has asked, who shall go for us? And He has answered, here am I, send me. And He would be the answer to everyone who could not keep anymore that holy law of God. He would be the answer for everyone who is worthy in himself because of sin and transgression to be cast away forever and forever. Oh, that riddle that no man can answer. That is a riddle that must be answered personally. The Queen of Sheba, she can hear of that fame of that king. But the Queen of Sheba, she must come herself unto that king to ask these questions and to receive those answers out of his own mouth. They cannot be answered in general. They must be answered personally. Oh, she heard. She heard when she was far away. Howbeit, she says, I believed not the words until I came. And mine own eyes have seen it. Oh, that faith that is such a very personal matter, that we cannot believe unless our own eye of faith is given to see it. Jacob's heart fainted. His children said, Joseph is alive. But he could not believe it. No, he had to be brought out to see the tokens himself that were sent from his son Joseph. Howbeit, I believed not the words. O congregation, by nature, we do not believe the words concerning the greatness of the wisdom and the glory of that greater King Solomon. And we will not believe those words until our own eyes do see it. And when our own eyes will see it, then it will become so true in our life. No, then we will not be able to disbelieve it anymore. Then we will have to believe, because seeing is believing. And faith, oh, that is as a spiritual sight. Faith that is knowledge, that experimental knowledge of the soul concerning the things that are not seen by the bodily eyes, and yet they are a witness within the heart and soul. Oh, what may that queen see? She may see his wisdom, or she may see that because she may hear it, and she may see the fruit of that wisdom within his own kingdom. But she also may see something of his great glory. We read of the house that he built, of the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, the cupbearers, the ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord. Thus, when the Lord is revealing himself unto his people, then the Lord is showing unto his people a little bit, a little portion, a little view of the greatness of his glory. Oh, then they see for a moment even something of his blessed majesty, as something of his blessed exalted state, of his greatness, of his holiness. That he is so high, that he is so lifted up, and that man, oh, he is humbled in the dust. Oh, that is what we read of this woman. That when she sees the great glory of this King Solomon, that she is completely overwhelmed. Do you not know of it, people of the Lord? Oh, just a little bit. Oh, then she says that her heart, that there is no more spirit in her. Oh, as our frail bodies, they could never endure in their mortal state to continue to see the great glory of that blessed Solomon. Oh, that true church, they're going to receive a little taste of it here below by moments. And then the Lord will withdraw himself again for a little while. And then what will we say? Oh, then we will say, yes, indeed, with that Queen of Sheba. Oh, then we will say, yes, indeed, it was a true report, she says, that I had heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. No congregation, it shall be no disappointment. When you may see the smallest part of the glory of that king. Oh, young people, this world draws you. It doesn't draw you only, it draws us too. The devil is the greatest liar. How many things tested now, in this morning hour? How many times have you not thought this and that in the world, they are going to make me happy? Tell now the truth between God and your soul. And how was it when you received it? Is he not a liar? But God is no liar. And it shall be no disappointment when you shall see the smallest part of the glory of that king. Could we lead you there? Could we bring you there? Or will you not seek it? Listen to that Queen of Sheba. Then she says it was a true report. Indeed, it was true. The glory that I may see today, that is indeed as that it was told unto me. And that Queen of Sheba, she had no more spirit in her when she saw the glory of an earthly kingdom. Oh, how much more when we shall see the smallest glory of that heavenly, of that spiritual kingdom. No, it shall be no disappointment. And then we shall indeed say, with this queen, it was a true report. But we shall say even more. Well, let us sing first. Psalter 257. Stanzas 1 through 4. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing all the earth to God. In daily praises bless his name. And tell his grace abroad. among the nations far and wide, His glory celebrate. To all the peoples of the earth, His wondrous works relate. 1-4 of Psalter 257. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." Thus, congregation, it was not only not a disappointment, but what does she say? That it far exceeded that report that she had heard in her own land. Oh, that smallest view of that blessed kingdom of that greater Solomon, that does so far exceed the expectation of that true church of God. That queen of Sheba, do you know what she said? She said, "Men," she said, "your report that is too conservative. Oh, you did not tell the half of what that I have seen, of that wisdom and of that glory." And congregation, who can rightly express what that work of Christ is for a poor and a wretched sinner, when it is seen by that people in all its incomprehensibleness? Oh, then it is so full, then it is so complete. David says then, "My cup runneth over." Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all of his praise? Or when something of that blessed free and sovereign grace is revealed in the heart and in the soul of a wretched sinner, or what that is to the soul satisfaction, then we cannot tell. The Bible that says all the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are thy works, and they are past finding out. One sight in this world, what did this bride say? As she said, "His right hand is under my head. With his left hand he doth embrace me," because of that blessedness and the fullness and that she had seen in that blessed bridegroom. Then she had to say, "Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, because I am sick of love." Oh, happy, happy, that queen says, are thy men. Happy are these thy servants. No, not only the men, but she says, even the servants. Oh, those that are the lowest, Solomon, the lowest ones of thy people. They are so happy. Oh, is that what you say too sometimes, young people? Is that now laying sometimes in your own heart? You say, "That man in the world, that woman in the world, they have nothing. They are poor and they are living in poverty." And yet, oh, I would like to trade places with that man or with that woman for what they may have with in their heart. Why, happy, happy are thy men, and happy are thy servants. Oh, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And why so happy? She says, because these thy servants, they may stand continually before thee, and they may hear of thy wisdom. Happy, because they are taught from above. Happy, because they are led by God from step to step. Happy, because they are taught by him, because they are guided by him, because they are kept by him, because they are the children of God. Oh, happy. Happy are these thy men, and happy are thy servants. Oh, blessed. Blessed, she says,
is the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Blessed be the Lord thy God. That will be the eternal song, congregation, of that seeking people. Oh, the Queen of Sheba, she could not include herself. She didn't say, I am happy. She said, happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants. But that confession that lay in her heart, that came forth out of her mouth, that confession that said something, when she may say, blessed be the Lord thy God. And there are some. We know there are those that always, they are ready to include themselves. The congregation, there is another people. They stand on the outside. They stand on the outside. And they say, happy is the people of the Lord. And there is a holy jealousy that is living within your heart. And you cannot bring yourself onto to the inside. But then remember that there is a people that find themselves in the life of this Queen of Sheba. And that there is a reason that the Lord, he has placed this history in his holy word. And therefore we say, wait, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say on the Lord. Amen. O Lord, remember that people. They cannot come on the inside. They stand on the outside. And they look with longing in their heart at the happiness of thy church. Lord, remember them in this day. And wilt thou thyself lead them also to come to thy blessed Son, that they may lay all their burdens at his footstool, and there that they may receive an answer for themselves. Lord, wilt thou take care of thy church? Wilt thou lead them further in those blessed steps of grace? Oh, bless thy word. In the midst of this people, this morning hour, Lord, forgive our sins and shortcomings in preaching and in hearing. Send us away, not empty, but may it be with a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Help him that must lead in this afternoon. Oh, come, Lord, with thy spirit, and bless also the reading services. Help us in the place where we will be. And wilt thou give that thy Sabbath day may be kept holy, and that it may be the beginning of a new life for this one or that one. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 446, stanzas 3 and 4. I wait for God to hide me. My soul with longing stirred shall hope, whate'er betide me in his unfailing word. My soul waits for Jehovah with more intense desire than watchers for the morning. To dawn of day aspire. 3 and 4 of Psalter 446.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.